Welcome to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. I'm James Groves, and along with my business partner, Bill Dement, we want to share our journey as small business owners with you. As owners of Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair, we will attempt to peel back the curtain of owning a small business in the trade service industry and talk about the many adventures of owning a small business. Well, hello there, Bill.
James, good to have you back in the office today.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple days here for sure. But
we weren't even sure you were going to be able to do the podcast this morning yesterday.
Yeah, it was like at 5 o'clock. I'm like, I think I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
So if I'm in less than full voice, please forgive me, listeners. I feel like I'm literally talking in an echo chamber in my head.
You sound great, though. Yeah, oh, it's so different, but it's good.
All right. Sweet.
Sweet.
Well, I just want to pause real fast and just say, as episode 88, this episode is, it's kind of fun to think back over the past year and a half. You know, we're approaching June, will be coming up soon, and that'll be a full 2 years of this podcast. And so I love that we can kind of reflect, and we are now going to the point where we have some of our past guests that feel like they were just on yesterday. I mean, yeah. I literally feel this guest was on just a couple months ago, and I looked back in the records, and it was on episode 38. So
50 episodes ago.
So 50 episodes ago, this guest was on. So that's basically a year ago.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited to have him back. He's somebody who's really part of the Hole in the Wall ether or existence. And I just want to welcome Ken Kimball with Lynx Web Design.
Yeah, welcome in, Ken.
Thank you for having me again. Ken, happy to be here.
Ken is one of the co-owners and the client partner of Lynx Web Design. You and your beautiful wife run that ship. And I'm so glad that you're here. Obviously, if anyone has been listening to the podcast for any length of time, your name always pops up in conversation for sure, because you have designed and continue to maintain all of our websites.
Yeah.
So thank you for being here.
Yeah, happy to do it. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm such a vital part of our, you know, public-facing demeanor, you know, is the website. That's what people first see.
Yeah, you look us up, you know, and obviously referrals is how we get business. And people land on Facebook, and they land on all kinds of places for us, but they inevitably end up at the Facebook.
It's really the website. It's really the anchor, isn't it?
It is. And it really, and people may only be on the website for a few minutes, you know, but boy, oh boy, it's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Well, it's been a year practically since you've been on, and I know you've had some changes. I know you've had some growth. Why don't you just take a second, just kind of fill us in on what Lynx does and kind of where you've been the past year and all the good stuff.
Yeah. So we help small businesses and small nonprofits, you know, look their best online. We help them by, you know, understanding their business and then creating an online look that kind of matches their brand. So that we can bring their message to the people they need to communicate with, to their audience. We started up in actually in Bangor, Maine. We spent many years there. Most of our clients are still up north. 2 years ago, we came down here to Florida, wanted to expand in the Central Florida region. And thanks to BNI and the people in this room, you know, we've done very well. 2023 was actually a record year for us.
Oh, excellent. That's good to hear.
Fabulous. 2023. Well, hey, we're part of that team. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though. How long have you been at this, even when you were in Bangor?
It's interesting. I just got a notification from LinkedIn that this is my 17th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
So 2007.
See, I need LinkedIn and I need Facebook to remind me of people's birthdays and anniversaries because...
Yeah, well, our networks are so big now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So what kind of led you into this industry, Ken?
Well, I actually started it back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I had a retail computer store, and I made just a little website. Terrible, terrible.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah. I was an IT guy. And then I went to work for my largest client, which was a trade show exhibit manufacturer. And I did a lot I was an IT person, but they always had me work on the website because, you know, websites are technical, even though I would say that they're not so much. It's more a marketing expression. But I did a lot with the website there. I was always in the website meetings. I learned a lot from there. And I was doing a little bit of freelancing on the side. I think I did my first, you know, website for money in 2002 for a local store that was in town in Belfast, Maine. And then I did a website for a local, like a hotel, kind of a vacation place. And they ran that website for years and years and years. So I did that, I want to say 2004. And that site was running probably until 2016.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
It was, yeah. I mean, they'd done some tweaks here and there.
That's a really long time for one website to run, isn't
it? It wasn't great. I mean, it did the job, but
yeah.
What we had available for tools and my knowledge in 2004 is nothing compared.
So what that does raise a question though. What is the typical length of a website? Because I know that's a quickly shifting market.
Yeah, my standard answer to that question is 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5.
It can be less. A lot of times there's changes in the business or sometimes maybe the owner isn't really happy. They want a different expression of their brand. So it would be shorter. And a lot of times they can last longer. We do have clients that have been running the same website since 2011, 2012. Yeah.
And they're still functioning.
They're still happy. They still pay us.
It could just be like a fresh up there.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Can you just update an old website sometimes and that'll suffice?
Yeah, and that's what a lot of them will do. They'll have updates here and there, and that's a big part of our service. We always recommend to do the full redesign. We don't charge for redesign, so they're really the only cost to them is their time and a little bit of effort. So we prefer to go through the full redesign process to bring everything, because we get to update the software, we get to kind of re-engage with that business, kind of start them off on a new foot. So our preference is to redesign them, but if they don't want to, if it's not the right time for them, they don't really want to put the energy into it, we're happy to refresh as needed.
Well, that's cool about your whole system, right? Because there's a difference between building a website and then maintaining the website. Because we've had multiple websites where it was built and I spent thousands of dollars and I had it built. But then I had to go in the back end and make sure that no one was hacking it and update the patches. And it was a nuisance, right? And that was usually an extra cost to have somebody come on board to even just maintain the website. But you're a full package, right? So you're not only, designing the website, but you're making sure that, on a regular basis that we're not being hacked. I remember when we switched our franchise website over to you, you did an analysis and you said that we were on almost on a daily basis, someone was trying to brute force their way into our website.
Yeah. Well, every website is always they will always try to brute force. It's not real people doing this. It's people writing scripts and bots that look for vulnerabilities, or they'll try to brute force websites. But your site had some out-of-date plugins. That was a real issue. One of them actually had an active vulnerability, and that was a concern at the time. That stuff, you really should keep up with it. And then, if you don't have somebody doing it, like you said, you have to do it on your own. But it's a good idea to have somebody that knows what they're doing, keeping that stuff going.
Right. Well, and then the fear from a business standpoint is I don't have the money for this, right? I don't have the money and I don't have the time for it. And your price points, I got to tell you, from someone who's been in this a while, I found them very affordable. It's almost to the point that I'd be silly not.
Yeah, certainly competitive.
To use your services.
At a minimum, competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you look at the overall end product, the results, and then now multiple years in with it, how we've just been able to maintain, it's great. One of the things I love about, because we're talking about refreshing, is like we have multiple locations on our holeinthewall.com site. And as we sold franchises, we now have to update all of these different locations. We're adding locations. We're changing things out a little bit. So we're getting this little mini facelift every time we sell a territory. Just a quick shout out. I emailed your team when we launched the Lakeland franchise, and I said, here, I need this changed. And within a matter of like 48 hours, the first mock-up was sent, and it looked almost flawless, and the only thing you were waiting on is just 3 or 4 things from me. And so then by the time I got all the details there, your team had it updated, and it was live within 48 hours beyond that, and it looks fabulous. So if you go onto holeinthewall.com locations Lakeland, you'll see it. So right on the heels of that location, now we had designed this new landing page that we could use for all new locations. So then I said, well, here's the Villages landing page. And here's I took notes and I said, well, they need these items. I gave your team the right items. And within 48 hours, the other landing page was up and live and looked fabulous. So the response time is great. And being able to have someone always there touching your site when needed, just even little monthly tweaks. Like we have a blog post when we did our press releases, you know, we have your team do the blog posts and they just look great right out of the chute without a whole lot. And frankly, that's just because your team has done thousands of websites, right? So it's kind of like when we say, hey, we just send me a picture of the hole in your wall. Do you want to come look at it? We say, no, we don't have to because I've patched 1,900, you know, we did 1,900 jobs last year. We patched thousands of holes. You guys know how to build a website, what people need. So I'd say all that to get to one question. If I'm starting out from scratch, don't have a website or have a cheap generic Wix site or something like that, as a small business owner, putting my head back where it was years ago, what do I need to even think about to get a website launched? What's this process? If we say, you know what, I do want to go with you in Lynx Web Design, what is this process? What do I need to think about?
Yeah, well, we always tell businesses when they're first starting out, if they ask me what do I need, you need to know your business first off. And you'd be surprised, but you need to know your business and you need to know your customer. So when I say you need to know your business, you know, what is your story? What is your brand? You know, what is your look? How do you want people to perceive you online? What is your value proposition? What's going to set you apart from your competitors? Imagine if you're going to advertise in a magazine and every single other business advertising that magazine did exactly what you do. What would you do differently on your ad to set yourself apart from all those? So think about it from that point of view. Then we say, well, think about the features of your business. Now, these are things that can overlap, but what do people expect that you're going to do? And kind of think of what those are and how to express those. You want to think about social proof. You know, are people leaving reviews? Are you asking for reviews? Reviews are king in building trust. So we always ask our businesses to think about that. And know your customer and know what questions they're going to have when they want to engage you. Because those are the questions you should be answering on your website. When somebody comes to your site, they came there because, A, they're in the market for your service. So a lot of times, I see a lot of businesses, they want to tell the visitor why they should use this service. But that's really kind of irrelevant. They're there because they already know they need the service. The question is, how are you going to provide that service for them in a way that nobody else can? So we think about that. And then, again, all those common questions people ask, you know, how long does it take? How much does it cost? What is the impact going to be on me to use your service? And that all kind of plays into how we design the site and how we build what we call a conversion flow. Because everybody comes to the site, and you said it earlier, they're only going to be there for a couple of minutes. So we want to be very deliberate about what we show them and how we lead them down that path. And we want to be careful not to give them anything to distract them. I was reviewing a site with a client yesterday, and they liked this other site. It's their new client. Like this other site, say, oh, we want to do a lot of what they're doing. I said, well, there's some things here you definitely don't want to do. One of them is they're sending people off to Facebook. Like, check us out on Facebook. Well, we don't want to do that because they'll never be back.
Like, yeah, that's so, always been a no-no, right?
Yeah.
You don't send them off-site for something.
Yeah. You want to send them from Facebook to your site. Your site is the conversion point. So we want to get them in there and get them through that process to get them to the contact form or the buy button or whatever it is they need to click on to take that next step.
So how important is, the brand, the color schemes, can you start from scratch or do they need to have some sort of palette that they bring to the table?
We like it when they have a brand. We don't market ourselves as a branding agency. I think there are people that are, you know, they just excel at that. A lot of the businesses that come to us are just starting out. Maybe they don't really have the brand. They don't have the budget to work with somebody for a brand. So we will, you know, we'll create something for them. Just to get them started, but we always recommend that they go through the process that every business should go through to kind of make their own brand. And there's certain questions that those professionals will ask and things that they'll do that just isn't our specialty. What we like to do is to take the brand that they've created and then craft a website around that brand. And it's just so important to have that nailed down so that when people engage with you, they see you not only on your website, but on your social media and your vehicles and your business card and all those other places they'll engage with you, that you have that base.
Yeah, it's a continuity.
Yeah, that consistent
look and feel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's important. And frankly, when you launch a business, you really want to kind of begin with the end in mind a little bit. You know, you may be just a landscape company. You may be just someone that does something
silly. There's no such thing as just a landscape company, right? That's their business. It's their life.
Absolutely. And so you need to come up with something that if you want to scale down the road, let's start something fresh, start with something new. Because rebranding in the midstream is difficult, right? Creating brands. We had somebody on the website, or on the podcast a few months ago, and she had to completely rebrand her entire
company. Oh, what a nightmare.
And we've talked about it several times. But she's a fabulous story, but she had to like change names, everything.
Yeah,
like,
she overcame it.
She did, and she launched right through it. But boy, it was a hiccup for her. And she mentioned that was probably one of her bigger struggles, is going to change names, change the brand, didn't have the trademark on it, so she had to get all that taken care of ahead of time before she even started franchising.
Yeah.
So I would think starting with a little bit of effort on the business owner's part, I'd like to know who you are, because I do landscaping. Well, we know that landscaping is more than just, well, do you mow lawns? Yes. Okay, great. Do you change out bushes? Yeah. Okay. Do you do sprinklers? No. Okay.
Can you trim my palm trees?
Yeah. Can you do, I mean, there's so much to land. Do you do residential, commercial? So kind of going through that exercise really, I think really is a key element there. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that just want mowing, and then there's people that need a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got someone who mows my lawn. That's all he does. He mows and edges and blows, and it looks delightful. But if I say, hey, can you replant some trees or some bushes? The answer is no. Hey, can you resod my yard? No. Mm-hmm. I mow lawns. That's my niche. So he does very good, really good. He needs a new website, I think. I'll have to go.
Great. Yes, another one.
There's another one for you, Ken, right there.
Another one. I'll get it. So what are some of the other factors that we need to think about? Obviously, know who you are. I'm thinking through our site, because if they're only on the website, how long they're on there? What, 2-3 minutes or less?
Yeah, 5 minutes is a long time.
Yeah. So the action item, for us, it's the get an estimate, right? Or for, whatever that sales tactic is. What is the best way to kind of think through that and to kind of track how they're landing on your site? Because can you tell how long they're on each page when they're on your website?
You can. And I would say start with the end in mind, right? So you want to have a goal, like, and maybe it's that free estimate button. But yeah, how do people get to that point? And we use, the most common tool to track that kind of thing is Google Analytics. And you can track a lot of things. It used to be you could track an obscene amount of things with the older Google Analytics. That was what's called cookie-based. But you may have heard in the news that Google has, it's getting rid of cookies, and they've pushed everyone into this cookie-less future that would be rolling out. So the tools aren't quite as good. Like, Google has all the data. Like, they have all the information. And the data that you get is a little less than it used to be. However, it's still very valuable, particularly because you can see anonymously, like you can't really pinpoint exact users as, like you could before, but you can kind of see how people move through your site, where they go, how much time they spend on other pages. Now, if you use other tools, there's some really sophisticated tracking. You can track where a person's mouse goes, like, so you can see if they're hovering over a certain button for a long time before they click.
Interesting.
It. Yeah, or are they scrolling down and going back up again? Are they actually getting down to your reviews? Are they seeing your reviews, what we call your social proof? Are they seeing that social proof? Or maybe we need to move that higher, closer to your call to action. There's a statistic that when your reviews or your social proof is closer to your call to action, it's a 14% increase in conversions, which is pretty big.
Wow.
So a lot of things that you can track. And my experience is people only track when they have a question, and they rarely have questions after a site launches, unless they're paying for something. So we have clients that are running certain maybe Facebook campaigns, maybe they're doing some other online advertising, and they want to know if those big investments are paying off. And the best place to get that information is through Google Analytics and these other types of tracking systems.
Want to become a business owner but not sure where to start? A hole-in-the-wall drywall repair franchise could be the opportunity you've been waiting for. As a franchisee, you'll have access to our comprehensive training program, ongoing support, and a proven business model developed to help entrepreneurs like yourself succeed. With our low overhead costs and high demand for services, you'll be able to hit the ground running and start generating income quickly. Achieve financial success while providing a valuable service to your community. Go to holeinthewallfranchising.com and take the first steps towards achieving your entrepreneurial dreams.
Now, will that help you rank in the, like someone searches for us, they search for drywall repair Orlando, we're going to pop up there. But how important is some of that analytic data to get us to rank better?
Yeah. So understanding the information and then going back and using that information to improve your site is what you do. It used to be way, way back in the day, before all sites were encrypted, that you could actually see every single search term somebody typed into Google when they went to your site. That's no longer possible. Google has something called the Search Console now that you can go to, and they'll give you some of the data of what generally people type to get to your site. If you run a Google Ads campaign or a Bing Ads campaign, you get a lot of data there about what people search for to get to your site. And then what you want to do is you want to go back and you want to tune your site, tune the content to take advantage of what they're searching for. So if they're searching for, you know, how to patch a, or who do I hire to patch a hole in my door, right? Maybe that's something that you want to rank for. Maybe you want to write a blog post about patching a hole in your door rather than just a wall.
Oh, so you're
adding. And we've actually done that, yeah. Believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, I believe it.
Yeah. So adding things to the site to help your rankings better. So you're going back. So I know we did a 6-month meeting where we kind of talked through our site and some of the things that were on it that we wanted to do some little tweaks on. So how often are you going through and looking at those things for us?
So we look at things on request, right? So one thing that I've learned in this business is just telling business owners what they need to do to improve their site has no effect, because it's not until they're engaged and they want to make a change, they want to make things better, does it really make sense? Because we can't go in there and just put content on their site without talking to them first, right? Mm. So they need to be engaged in the process. They need to say, hey, you know, I want to rank better. I want things to be better. How do we do that? We have them schedule a website review. We put all their information. We have a lot of tools, two great tools, our SEM Rush and Bright Local. We put all their information in those tools. We run a bunch of reports. And then we help them understand the results. And then we make recommendations. You should do this. You should do this. You should do this. And we kind of put them in order and then help them do it.
Well, so I know that what we see on the screen, that's the pretty part. I know there's a ton of back end stuff. So whether you're using WordPress or a different type of thing, but what are some of the things in the back end that I should expect from a web design company, that things that you provide?
Well, you mentioned earlier about how we're able to do things so quickly. And the reason why we're able to do that, one of the reasons why we're able to do that, is because we've learned from almost 2 decades of doing this, how to engineer our sites to be quick and easy to update. So we're not necessarily managing code every time. We build things into the WordPress administration that allows us to make those changes very quickly and efficiently. But there are other things. There's something called microdata or schema that you don't see, but search engines see, and other sites see, that describe the content of the page, so that search engines don't have to guess what this page is about, because you've described it in this format. So a lot of sites, a lot of starter, you know, DIYers or people who haven't worked in the industry that long don't know about that. And you know, Google does a pretty good job of trying to figure out what a page does, but it's just so much better when you have that schema kind of behind the scenes explaining it to them.
And so, and Trish and I, we talk a lot about like citations and things like that. How important are those? And are those things that are easily found, or are those things that are easily added?
Yeah, so citations are mentions of your business on third-party sites. And sometimes those can have a link. Sometimes it's just contact information. Normally these days they normally have a link. The importance of them is trust building. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of fraud and scams, and sites pop up and they're there for a few days or a few weeks to scam people and they disappear. So what citations do is they kind of they're a verification to Google and other search engines that this business is for real. So if you've had citations across many different sites, many different mentions of your business, Google indexes your site and all those other ones. It makes a connection. Look, this place has been around for a long time. They've got reviews maybe on these other sites. A lot of information about them. The information is consistent. The phone number is always the same. The address is always the same. The business name is always the same. That just tells the Google algorithm that this is more likely to be a business they can trust, which will help you rank better. If they have a link to your site and it's not what's called a nofollow link, it's a real link to your site, a full link to your site, it can also help in position where that site is kind of voting for your site to succeed.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was all there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So I know when we've had sites designed in the past, we just hire a designer. And they go in and they design it and they create it. They use a template. Then we, you know, pay for that service. But I know you're a little different. You guys, you'd kind of divide and conquer a little bit. Tell me a little bit about that process you guys have.
Yeah. So we don't use pre-made templates or themes. I'd love to because they make the job quick and easy. But at the end of the day, it takes just as much time to make a good quality website because you have to almost rip everything out of those. They look great when they're for ABC Corp, but as soon as you try to make that ABC Corp website or theme into hole in the wall, it's just, yeah, it never works out. So we actually do all of our design work in Photoshop. We have a designer and he spends his whole day in Photoshop. That's all he does. Websites, emails, whatever, he's in Photoshop all day. He pumps out the designs. He does all the revisions. We have the client approve the design. Sometimes he'll do several different pages of the site while the client approve every single design. And then those designs go off, once approved, they go off to the developers and they actually take those and do what's called slicing. They take all the images and determine all the code that needs to be written to make that template or that design into an actual theme that we can put on a website. They build all that out. And then, yeah, it's a pretty involved process, but our designer can't code. Like he doesn't know. He couldn't create a website to save his life. And our designers, our developers have some kind of design knowledge, but they'll never spend all day in Photoshop. And they're not that great at Photoshop. Mm. What they're good is they're good at writing code and making responsive sites for desktop and mobile.
Yeah. So you're not relying on one person.
Yep.
Yeah. One of our issues is that a good friend of ours helped us build one of our sites, but then he got really busy. And so he became fairly successful in his industry, and getting his attention was difficult because he's either on vacation mm-hmm. or he's in school or he's busy working.
So do you remember when we first started looking at Ken, though, the first thing we did was to look at some of the websites he had done for other businesses. And yeah. there were a good number of them because you've obviously done a lot of websites. But the hook was the way you market payment.
Yeah.
The way it's when we looked at that and we saw what we were getting, we're like, I don't know why anybody wouldn't do this. Talk a little bit about how you arrived at that.
Yeah. It's a long story, but basically just to almost skip to the end, we work on a monthly fee model. So we don't charge thousands of dollars up front. And the reason why we like that model is we don't want one-time customers. We don't want one-time clients. We don't want somebody to come into us and say, make a website. We give them the website and then they go away. We don't see them again for 3 to 5 years when they need another website. We want to help them grow and we want them to come to us when those changes need, their business changes. We want them to come back to us. So instead of charging up front, we just charge a flat monthly rate. We do everything in our power to keep that monthly fee as low as possible and then but still provide those services, 24 to 48 hour turnaround for website changes. I have to have a certain number of staff for that, but we really work to keep those that monthly.
Well, what you're providing is value, though.
Yeah.
Regardless of what a price of something is, whether it's really, really cheap or it's moderately priced or expensive, what's the return you're getting for it? That's how you judge the value. And that's, boy, I tell you, we could see that right away with you guys.
Well, I didn't know the value of having aftercare, right? The value of the website's up, because I've built websites, I've done free sites, and it's great. But the aftercare, the making sure the back end is taken care of, that's so crucial to have that somebody there that's kind of looking after you, even though you can't do it on your own. And frankly, I got tired of having all of the updates because we used templates, and then you had to update those templates. Every time there's a revision, you got to update those templates. And that aftercare is essential. And then every time we have an employee that we hire or leaves the company, we update our website with their photo. That means I would have to go in there and do all that, but I don't have to do that now. I just send a nice little email over to support at Links, and then all of a sudden it's taken care of for me.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those updates, particularly the template ones, you know, they can break things.
Yeah.
And you don't see it you don't see it when you do it, because sometimes maybe it breaks it on mobile only, but you made the update on your desktop, so you never saw the mobile version. Mm. Yeah, we see that a lot.
Well,
our themes don't need any updates because we make them in-house. So if we update them, we're not downloading an update. We're testing it as we deploy it.
Yeah, that to me is the value. The value for sure.
Yeah. So your byline is online marketing heroes. Talk a little bit about that. How did you arrive at that? And then as a follow-up, I'm curious, other than doing the websites, do you actually do marketing as well?
Okay, two questions. So I'll do the heroes first. The thinking behind the online marketing heroes was, I think it came from some of our clients saying that you're my hero, right? Because they can call us, they can ask us anything, and we're going, if it has to do with their website or their online marketing, we are going to find a solution. So we become their hero.
Love
so
that attitude.
Yeah, that's where that came from. As far as other marketing services, we tried to do other things. We tried social media, we tried content marketing. We still do a little bit email marketing, although we're not taking on new clients for that, just some existing clients. But we've really found, like your lawn mowing gentleman, that sticking to something that we know we're really good at, we can always provide quality. We know inside out's the best way. So we really do try to stick to websites. The one exception to that is Google Ads. And the reason why I really feel like Google Ads is so valuable is that it can give any business a leg up. And it's really hard for somebody running their business to, even though anyone can sign up and run a Google Ads campaign, the interface and the platform, it's extremely complicated, and it's so easy to make a mistake and lose money or spend money and get no value out of it.
And possibly be totally unaware.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, probably. Right. Probably. Mm-hmm. First thing you would need to do is set up conversion tracking. Nobody knows how to set up conversion tracking, right? So we do provide Google Ads services, and we're really good at it. We've been doing that since the day we started. And it's a phenomenal platform, you know, pros and cons like everything else. But so websites and Google Ads are primary things, and we try not to stray too far from that.
Well, you're good at it. So Ken, you've been doing this years now. You've got to have some sort of success story, some lessons learned, maybe some tips and tricks, maybe a horror story or two under your belt. So why don't you drop some more knowledge before we let you go today?
Yeah, so we'll start with the positive, right? Or things that we've learned that have made things better. And I see that before the podcast today, you were showing me your nice manual that explains every part of your business. And I'd say that was one of the biggest learnings that we've had over the years, you know, write everything down. We have extensive documentation for our developers so that when we have to onboard somebody, they know this is how we do things. And it goes right back to being efficient. If everybody's doing everything the same way, it's really easy for anyone to go in and take over a project because somebody's on vacation or somebody's out sick that day. So that, yeah, definitely writing things down, having good documentation, having good communication. We're fully remote. Everybody's in a different location right now. But getting everybody together at least once a week and talking, and they're in Google chat all day, trading tips and asking questions and checking each other's work. Another important part of our business. Horror stories, you know, we've had a few, but I'll just throw out a red flag that I've noticed over the years, and that's the over exuberant new client, the one you've talked to them one time, maybe they called you up, you told them about your business, you learned a little bit about them, and they're really excited to get going. They sign the agreement right away, and you almost know that you know, are they really taking the time to really understand the product and the service and what's in, what this entails? A lot of times, if they don't, I like clients or new clients to ask a lot of questions and make us work for that job, because then I know that we're getting a client for life, because they've done their due diligence, they understand what they're getting, they've compared us against our competitors and decided that we're the best option,
and they're engaged.
Yeah, those are going to be the great clients we're going to have for years or decades.
Well, and your process is so dialed in. I remember, because you said it was going to take what, 12 weeks usually to kind of from start to finish of the process. And I know we lingered more longer than 12 weeks, but it wasn't because you guys weren't doing your job, but there was a part of the process that we weren't doing ours. And so you're like, all right, here's the next step. Here's your homework. And then go. And then I couldn't yell at you for saying, hey, why are we 2 weeks delayed? Because, well, here's your process lined out. Well, we're waiting for this data from you. We can move past it a little bit, but we still need this information from you. And having that process really helped keep me accountable for my part of the website and other design, and really held your standard to a high level that I really appreciated. So thank you for doing that, for sure.
Yeah, a big part of Christy's job, who's our project manager, is, you know, setting expectations and keeping after people to make sure that not only are our people doing our job and meeting our commitments, but the client meets theirs as well.
Yeah, managing your client is important.
Yeah.
Managing the expectation. All right, so if people wanted to get a hold of you and learn more about you, what's the best way for them to find you?
Linkswebdesign.com.
Linkswebdesign.com. All right, folks, you heard it here. Ken Kimball, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for coming in, Ken. Great to have you again.
What a great time. You know, obviously, you're part of our world, but I'd like to share this part with the rest of our listeners. So thanks so much for being here. Tell your wife thank you very much and your team. We appreciate them so much.
I will.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. It was a good show today.
We'd like to thank you for listening to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. We'd love for you to join our Facebook group and keep the conversation going. If you'd like to learn more about us and our business, check us out at holeinthewall.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to start a Hole in the Wall franchise, go to holeinthewallfranchising.com.